Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After doing so, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. At once Jesus spoke to them, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter said to him in reply, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught Peter and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" After they got into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. First Kings with Elijah and the Gospel fit neatly together. There's a common thing going on. It's called a big storm and a big test. Elijah had just done the will of God, and he did spiritual battle against the pagan prophets of Baal, which belonged to Jezebel and her very weak husband Ahab. And he defeated all of them in a spiritual battle, and so then all those prophets were put to the sword. So now he's running for his life to get out of there because they are after him. So he's trying to escape the vengeance and the violence of an evil queen and king. So at the mountain, there he is. He's on Mount Horeb, which is the same as Mount Sinai, which is where Moses was. And God, this time, did not speak in thunder and lightning and earthquake as we have with Moses. God spoke in a soft whisper with his peace and wisdom. And Elijah hid his face so as not to look upon the power of God. On the boat, the disciples fear the storm, and they think Jesus on the water is a ghost. And there seems to be chaos everywhere. And Peter loves Jesus, yes? Peter loves our Lord, and he obeys him because he gets out of the boat when Jesus says, "Come here," and walks to him on the water. But the chaos and the storm is too much for him, and he takes his eyes off Jesus, and he starts to sink because he took his eyes off the Lord. God has just saved Elijah, and he continues on with the mission. He will give them the mission. Part two. Peter listened to Jesus, and though he panicked, he knew where to turn for help, and he cries out, "Lord, save me." And we actually hear the word, immediately, Jesus extends his hand. I mean, immediately reaches out to him. And he's saved by Jesus. Now, we are often tempted to think, as Christians, in life, it's just, you know, me and JC. But it isn't me and Jesus Christ, all right? It's not just Jesus and me. That's not what it is. Because what did they not do? Jesus didn't look at Peter and says, "Let's keep walking because those guys are losers, so let's go over to the bank where it's get on some solid land so we can have a real conversation." No. He walks back to the boat and they both get in the boat and then the storm disappears. So Jesus takes Peter back to the boat with the other disciples. Our hope and our salvation is only in Christ. And it leads us to the safety in the boat and the security in that boat with the other apostles. Jesus quiets the storm, and the boat, the bark, the ship, is the church. They're all there together. He means to save them all in this enormous teaching lesson. Then he looks at Peter. He says, "Oh, you of little faith, why'd you doubt? What have you not seen so far?" The storms of life are real. There are real storms. But the love of Christ is stronger. And we must remember, let us remember, Peter walked on the water. We will often think about Jesus walking on the water, or think about him doing that. Peter walked on the water. He loves our Lord. He trusted him. He went out there. That's how much love and trust that he had. James and John, they asked Jesus, "We want to sit on your right and your left when you come into your kingdom." So the apostles are starting to want some great things. That is, in the sense they're wanting more of who Jesus is, and to be with him, to walk with him, even on the water. They want to be close to him. They know that this is where the answer is. Life and hope comes through a lived encounter of faith. With eyes focused on Christ, having faith in him, we are grafted onto the vine so that we can walk on the water and have life. And Jesus even tells them in John 14, he says, "You will do these works and more." We limit ourselves. We look at the storms, the chaos, the nonsense that's all around us. We'll even get bogged down by our own fears, our own sins, whatever it might be, instead of keeping that focus on our Lord, to focus on him always. He makes it possible. He raises the bar, and he makes it possible. And with faith, we can do far greater things, as he himself told us. And it all takes place in the bond of community in the ship, which is the church, which is where we are right now. We must put our faith in him, respond to the grace and the possibility of him saying, "Come here, let's do this." And you put your faith in him and you walk with him in the community of believers. Because we're in this together, to trust in him and to walk with him and to live that faith. May it be so in our lives that we keep our focus on Christ in the midst of chaotic times, of which they always exist in history, to love our Lord and to know that he is making it possible, and he draws us from one strength to the next.